TalkZone.com.
TalkZone presents the Geek Speak Radio Show with your hosts, Henry and Romo. Your top spot for everything entertainment and pop culture, including TV, movies, comics, casting news, and more. Now, here are your hosts, Henry and Romo.
Hi, here we are. Welcome back to the Geek Speak Radio Show, hour number...
two.
Yeah, hour number dos. Well, Romo, at least.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
We finished up the Star Wars hour. That was part one. Part two will be on Friday, as I said, because we were going to have the people from the Zeum and from Lucasfilm come on and talk to you about the event that's going on. Not this weekend, next weekend. Star Wars, the Clone Wars event at... It's called The Weekend at Zeum. Like I said, it's going to be your favorite Clone Wars characters. You can play with your own lightsabers, make your own lightsabers, make your own Clone Wars cartoon, take it home probably.
Yeah.
But I imagine it's something computer related.
Yeah.
People will be signing autographs out there. The characters will be there. Just a fun weekend for...
You think I should dress up?
Of course.
No, but I'm... like,
who would want to see your real face?
No, but I'm thinking of dressing up as a stormtrooper.
Exactly. But that's happening in a couple of weekends at the Zeum. And again, all the information will be on GeekSpeakRadioShow.com. I'll link it up there after the show. And again, we will have somebody from the Zeum and Lucasfilm and probably some people from actual Clone Troopers will come on and talk to us. Maybe they'll come here. Maybe Darth Vader himself will come here.
That'd be cool.
and talk to you about that. Also, we got another email while we were waiting. Somebody agreed with me. They love the Millennium Falcon. And they still have, in mint condition, they say, the Millennium Falcon, the original one, from the one I used to play with. That one is in pieces also, because, you know, when you're a kid, when those toys came out.
You're crashing. You're making them hit.
You didn't know what you had. You didn't know that they were going to be worth so much money. And so, yeah, you played with them. You threw them. You threw rocks at them. You sprayed them with water because that was the explosions.
Yeah.
And so you didn't know what you had in your hands. Now, if I have them, I don't open them, first of all. I just have them there. But here's the thing. I still have a Darth Maul figure from episode one when that first came out. I'm not going to sell it because I don't want to sell it. Because even if people say, well, and we had a conversation sort of like this at the comic book shop that we went to yesterday. Comics, yeah, they're worth a lot, but do you really want to sell them?
No.
Even though you have a book that's worth like, what, $2,000? Are you really going
to
sell it?
No, you want to keep it. It's because you have a personal attachment to it.
Even in this economy, you're not going to want to sell it. That's the thing. And same thing with toys, anything collectible. Yeah, it's worth a lot, but do you really want to sell it?
No.
So, I don't know. It's just kind of it's a funny thing to me that people like, whenever I buy toys they're not toys, they're action figures. Let's get it right. Whenever I buy action figures or anything and people say, oh, you keep that, it's going to be worth a lot. And? It's like I'm going to sell it or anything.
The same way with comic cards.
Yeah.
Or comic books in general.
Yeah. So, that's what we did in the first hour. Now, this hour, let us talk about, first of all, wake up Angel, somebody.
Yo, wake up.
I'm awake.
Yeah, push her some more. Push her into the wall. Why don't you?
Body check.
Let's talk about the news of the day that's going on. Robert Rodriguez.
Yes.
We've talked about
good
that
friend.
Name. We've talked about that name a few times. He has been talked about doing the directing the Deadpool movie, the one with Ryan Reynolds. It's eventually going to happen, maybe.
Yeah, it is.
He's probably not going to be able to direct it now.
Why?
Because of scheduling conflicts. This is going to be happening a lot with everybody, scheduling conflicts.
I hope it's not a problem with Ryan Reynolds, though, with the scheduling conflict.
Well, yeah, because remember yesterday I mentioned he's going to be here with Bradley Cooper.
And he's going to be in the Green Lantern.
They're doing that as we speak.
Yeah, and then eventually Deadpool. So he has a busy schedule right now.
They all do. I guess everybody's trying to catch up to Sam Worthington, because a few weeks ago I mentioned he's the hardest working man in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Sam Worthington, I mean. He's got like, what, I think we counted 16 movies, projects at least, that he's got lined up.
So who's going to direct it?
They don't know.
Just put it on hold?
Not on hold. They want to do it, but it may not be able to be Robert Rodriguez, because he has, you know, he just finished Machete. He's doing a promotion for it, but Spy Kids 4, I think we talked about it a couple days ago. That's going to be a reboot, and he's doing that, obviously.
Why would he want to do that, though, compared to Deadpool?
Because Spy Kids 4 was good.
I never watched Spy Kid.
Well, then again, like
really
yesterday,
good.
How can you say it wasn't good?
Probably
exactly. So that's why he's going to be doing it tomorrow.
Didn't they go in 3D?
Yeah.
The last one was.
That's probably why I didn't watch any of it.
No, the first two, they were really good, fun family films. You could take your kids there, and both of you can enjoy it. Kind of like what happened with G.I. Joe. Yes, I said it. I like G.I. Joe. All right, get over it. That's what happened with me and my son when we went to see G.I. Joe. We were both 7-year-old kids. Like again, crashing the toys into each other. That's all G.I. Joe was. Same thing with Transformers. The reason why we didn't like Revenge of the Fallen is because Michael Bay tried to put in too much story. A lot of the robots were just dumbed down. Yeah, those two. They were dumbed down. And we just wanted the best part. I mean, when I went to see it.
It was the biggest fight.
It was the night before Michael Jackson died. That's when Transformers Revenge of the Fallen came out. And I was on the IMAX screen. And that thing is loud, and I heard the audience, even over all that loudness, they're screaming and yelling and going crazy. The people next to us stood up and were cheering, clapping during the forest fight with Optimus Prime, Megatron, and the other Decepticons. When spoiler alert, when Optimus gets killed in the forest fight, that was the best part of the whole movie. And after that, it was the energy just went left the room. The first one, phenomenal. The first Transformers. And like I said, that's why we go to those movies, not for story. Michael Bay, he knows how to do these movies. He listened to someone that told him, we need more story. We need more Shia LaBeouf. No, we don't need more Shia LaBeouf. Less would be better.
Like
when you mentioned they're going for Megan Fox. No, we're not. We're going for Megatron, not for Megan Fox.
Thank God.
Again, whoever dies in this next one stays dead.
That's good.
He said that. So robots will die.
Bumblebee will die. Like, yes, I said it.
Bumblebee.
Good.
Aww.
You don't like Bumblebee?
No.
That's a nice car.
Yeah, I want to know when was he made the main character?
That's
he wasn't
right.
That much of a main character in the cartoons or the comic book. It was always Optimus.
Yeah.
So when did that happen?
Maybe the style of the car.
No, it was just so they needed someone to dumb down and have lovable.
He didn't even talk though.
I know.
I like the car.
It has nothing to do with the car. It has to do a lot with just the Bumblebee himself.
Yeah, because the car isn't even the real Bumblebee. The real Bumblebee was a Volkswagen.
Oh, I know, but I said the car was pretty bad in the movie.
It was. That's why we don't really like it that much.
And, I mean, there's a lot of... me personally, I didn't like Transformers 2. Again, there was too much...
You're not the only one.
There was too much story. I mean, it was confusing. I was all over the place. I was like Shia LaBeouf. I was possessed and confused at the same time, not knowing what was real.
Yeah, babbling about who knows what. You're looking forward to that next year, Transformers 3. What started this was Robert Rodriguez won't probably be able to do the Deadpool movie, and because he's going to be doing Spy Kids 4, and that's what led to the Transformers / G.I. Joe discussion we just had is. Spy Kids, the franchise, 3, yeah, it was in 3D, but you could have watched it without the glasses. It looked fine. Plus, Sylvester Stallone was the villain. How could
that
you go wrong
really
with
cool.
that? Speaking of rebooting franchises, Clash of the Titans, you and I went to see that one.
Yeah, we did.
What'd you think?
I liked it, but it wasn't original. I mean, it wasn't as close to the original. Oh man, the original was so good. Can you believe it? I mean, the technology they had back in the days was, you know, priceless.
Just clay Medusa.
Yeah,
moved
it was priceless,
frame by frame.
Though. But, I mean, now that you got the CGI, I expected a lot more. Personally, it was okay. I mean, you know, the storyline was off compared to the original.
Yeah, a lot of people know what we mean by that.
But compared to just being entertaining,
well,
again,
apparently
it was cool.
Good enough to do a 2, because it's coming. And the director officially will be Jonathan Liebersman. He's going to direct Clash of the Titans.
What
kind
familiar.
Of movies did he direct?
He did. I just went blank. It just came out last year too. What is it called? Where's my story? I put it here somewhere. Where's my producer when I need him? I forget what movie he did. But he did do a movie. You can look him up on the internet, and he'll be on there. It's one of the action movies that came out last year. Didn't do nothing huge.
Yeah.
But he's the director officially. We just learned yesterday.
So are they going to have a new storyline? I mean, of course they are, but are they going to continue from the original one? I mean, there was a lot of
That, I don't know, because honestly, the original Clash of the Titans, that's one, kind of like The Matrix and Inception, those are movies that should never be touched.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, Romo. I didn't see Clash of the Titans. I didn't even bother.
The new or the old?
The new one.
Yeah.
And so what did you like about it, or what is it about?
Well, first of all, go watch it. I'm not going to say anything else besides that. Again, it was, if you've ever seen the original one?
No.
All right, I ain't going to say anything. Go watch the original one. Homer for today, go watch the original one and then watch the reboot. And then you can kind of get a different, get a sense of what the movie's about. It's, you know, of course, you know, it's about the goddesses.
So Greek mythology in there?
Yes.
Yeah. But the original had more adventure than this one did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It had more of a love story than this. It was supposed to be there, but it was kind of like Anakin and Padme. Right. It's kind of
forced.
There
was no love story.
No.
I mean, the original one is the whole, it's surrounded with the whole love story, and he goes and fights Medusa, he gets sent off on these adventures to.
Everything he's doing in the original is to win the princess in the end. And this one is the same thing, but he only saw her literally for about one scene, if that. So I wouldn't be going to Medusa and risking all that for a girl that I barely know. and by the way, Jonathan Liebesman, he's going to be the director of Battle Los Angeles next year with Two-Face.
What's Aaron Battle Eckhart. Los Angeles?
It's an action-packed alien invasion movie that's coming out next summer, like I said. And I said starring Two-Face, Aaron Eckhart.
Huh.
Cool.
And Michelle Rodriguez is in it also, by the way, who is in Shady this weekend.
Is there a trailer out? I've never heard it. This is the first time I've heard about it.
Not yet. It's still in production. So no teaser yet. We'll probably get it by this fall. By winter.
No, it's not like a... What is it about? You said alien invasion?
Yeah. In Los Angeles, obviously. It's called Battle Los Angeles. It's just a... It's so going to remind you a lot of Independence Day.
All right. So I predict that 2011, we're going to have a lot of aliens coming to the
2011 is the year of the alien and the superhero. Yeah, you already see that on paper.
Yeah.
So, again, thanks, Producer Dave. He found that. He's a director of Battle Los Angeles and also will be directing Clash of the Titans 2. Now, when I say anyone, not just you two here, but anybody, when you say to anybody, who are you going to call? What's the answer?
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that's how big that movie is. Who wants to see a 3?
I do, but they better do it right.
So they are going to do the 3.
I didn't say that.
Because I remember we were talking about this early this year. Now, they are going to, let me ask you, are they going to answer my question? Yes or no?
Ask it.
Because I really want to say, I'm hoping that they do a 3.
Oh, you want a yes or no answer?
Yeah. It's a maybe, huh?
Yes, they're thinking about it.
Man.
Here's the plot, perhaps. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, we were talking about this is a good story plot.
you remember Ghostbusters 2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The baby, Oscar.
Yeah. Right. Well, he grows up.
As most babies tend to do.
Yeah.
No shock there. That's not the plot, by the way. We're not going to see Oscar grow up. He's already grown up. And two things we're going to find out. It's already well known that, Bill Murray is going to die in this one, and he's going to come back as a ghost.
Yeah, what? See, that's cool about it.
The other thing is...
Why does he die?
They're also... Well, we'll have to wait to see if they do it and find out. The other thing is...
His son becomes a Ghostbuster.
Oscar, will be revealed that it is his son. Because in Ghostbusters 2, it came from another relationship that Dana had. Dana Barrett, which is Sigourney Weaver's character. But here in 3, if they do this, it'll be revealed that it's actually his son.
How did that happen?
Do we have to have the birds and the bees talk
no,
now?
No, I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to think back to Ghostbusters 2 and 1.
No, one has nothing to do with it. It's
but she
much...
was in it. Wasn't she? She was in
yeah,
part
she was,
one.
But...
She was the girl that turned into a dog.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to figure out the relationship.
Okay, I'll admit it. She's a dog. See, it has some of the best lines, Ghostbusters 1 and 2, especially
now they're
1.
They're going to bring back all the whole cast.
Rick Moranis is retired, supposedly. But if they do this right, like Angel said a minute ago, he may come out of retirement.
That would be cool because he was very funny.
Yeah.
He was like the extra funny dude.
He was us. He was the geek.
Yeah. What about Dan Aykroyd? Because that was my favorite guy.
Yeah. I mean, it's well known, well publicized. They all want to do it. Everybody's back except for Bill Murray. He's the one that doesn't want to do it for some reason.
Bill Murray?
So yeah, if you're
this
listening,
is Romo?
We love you.
This is Henry.
Come on.
Yeah, we want you to be a part of this.
Bring back my childhood.
Not just us, the Geeks Speak Radio Show. Everybody out there. Everyone wants to see you as you know. And yes, so you die, you become a ghost. You can still be funny.
Because, it was just the chemistry between Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray that made it funny. They got each other. They understood each other as the characters.
And the other thing is, if you don't think so, Bill Murray, if he doesn't think so, look at his cameo in Zombieland. Everybody went crazy when they saw him in Zombieland.
No, people still love him. He has a diehard following of fans. And, you know, this is one actor that has never, he's going to stand the test of time because he's just cool. Everyone likes him.
Even when he was in Space Jam, that was funny.
Yeah, Groundhog Day. I mean, come on, he is some good stuff.
Yeah, it's Bill Murray.
Yeah.
That's all you have to say. So hopefully he'll get over whatever it is that's stopping him and he'll do Ghostbusters 3. So we will see. Maybe he'll Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah,
so my answer to your question, you want a yes or no, is yes, they're thinking about him. And there are scripts being shopped everywhere. It's just, you know, and Bill Murray.
No, that we were talking about, is that going to be part of the script? Because, I mean, that's phenomenal if they keep it the way it is. Don't change it up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been well known
for a while that if Ghostbusters 3 happens, even if it becomes a quote-unquote reboot, it's going to be a passing the torch kind of movie.
Yeah.
In other words, the younger generation takes over for, you know, the original Ghostbusters.
Thank you.
So that it was going to be that eventually. The interesting thing about the sort of answer your question also, I mean, Columbia sort of answers your question because, back in February or March when they had Show West, that's actually, it's more like in April, I think, when they had Show West in Las Vegas, that's when they show up, not trailers, but just the posters, like the ones we have here, the one sheets for all the upcoming projects.
Yeah.
In there was the Ghostbusters logo. So Columbia is ready to do it. They're ready. They're going with it, with or without Bill Murray, with or without the original cast. So they're going to do it no matter what. Kind of like Sony going ahead with Spider-Man with or without Sam Raimi. Obviously,
yeah.
Without now. So that it's going to happen. We just don't know what exactly they're going to do with Ghostbusters 3. But that's one potential plot where Oscar, the baby from Ghostbusters 2, is number one revealed to be Bill Murray's
son.
Real son. Not in real life, but the character's son. And he takes over for Dad. As
yeah.
a new Ghostbusters in the next generation. What else? Oh, Fantastic Four. Speaking of other movies that are going to be rebooted.
Uh-oh.
Fox owns the rights to this, but if they don't do the movie like yesterday, rights revert back to Marvel. So Marvel can do, who owns them? Yeah, to Marvel. And Marvel can either sell it off, do their own, direct a DVD movie, Jeff Loeb, because he's in charge of that now.
Yep.
So, but Fox, obviously, they don't want to get rid of this franchise, and they don't want to do a sequel because
they have to.
One of their characters is now Captain America. So they kind of have a problem there.
Yeah, they do.
They have been talking about, there's some directors.
Aren't they talking about that the thing would be all in CG too?
And oh, of course, that's Bruce Willis.
They are going to be all in CG.
Yeah, and Joe Carnahan, David Yates, and James McTeague are on the short list to direct this thing.
Yeah.
Those guys, in case you're wondering, Joe Carnahan, he just did the A-Team that just came out not too long ago. David Yates, of course, everybody knows from the Harry Potter movies. And who else did I say? Yeah, James McTeague. The last thing he did was V for Vendetta. They're on the short list to direct the Fantastic Four reboot film. The Bruce Willis. The thing would be voiced, not played by, but voiced by Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Here's a few things
like
about
it. Thing too.
the film Fox, at least they plan to start shooting next spring. It'll be called Fantastic Four Reborn, and big shock here, the film will be shot in
New York, Chicago,
LA.
Wait for it,
San Francisco,
3D.
Oh, I thought you were talking about places.
And the thing will be all CGI.
Oh.
Not the movie, the thing. I mean, the character, the thing.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be all CGI. But like I said, if Fox doesn't do it soon, then all the rights to the Fantastic Four franchise go back to Marvel,
now,
and Marvel can do whatever they want.
That's a good question. Who really wants it to go back to Marvel? Do you want the studio to take control and reboot
yes.
it?
Yes.
Yeah, because they know the story best. They know the characters best.
And
they're trying to be authentic as possible.
The other thing is we're looking forward to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
We may have Andrew Garfield on to talk about not only Spider-Man, but The Social Network and all the other movies that he's working on. But we all want to see the new Spider-Man. We want to see it succeed. But we do want to see it go into the hands of Marvel, because it's kind of like, and you, Angel, understand this analogy, it's kind of like Mickey Mouse going to Warner Brothers.
He better not.
And, you know, and Disney, all of a sudden, somebody buys Disney because they're in financial trouble. They're not. This is just pretend.
Yeah.
But Disney's in financial trouble. Somebody buys them, and all of a sudden, they're turning all their old franchises into new franchises for the new generation and being very successful at it. Mickey Mouse is still stuck at Warner Brothers. And they did 3 good movies. The director's ready to do another Mickey Mouse movie, but because of studio execs or whoever it was that don't want to let go of the money or want to force their hand onto it, all the original cast from the Mickey Mouse movies, they leave and they reboot the thing. Meanwhile, Disney is ready to buy it, the Mickey Mouse franchise, from Warner Brothers because it's theirs anyway.
Yeah.
Because
every movie starts with the Mickey head, has it somewhere. Everything, like Walt Disney said, it all started with a mouse.
Yeah.
Same thing with Marvel. Look at the comic books that I bought. I bought some of the old ones yesterday. It didn't start with a spider, but it all has a Spider-Man head on it because he's pretty much, you know,
the head of Marvel.
Yeah. Not the head of Marvel. That was Stan Lee for a while. Joe Kuhn now is the head of Marvel, but he is the flagship
title
for Marvel. And so that's what this is like, for fans at least. It's not that we don't like what Sony's doing. It's just that we'd rather see Marvel really do it like they did Iron Man, because the Iron Man was the first completely Marvel financed movie.
Yeah,
and obviously it did a great. Iron Man 2 did great. We're waiting for Captain America, Thor, and then the Avengers eventually, see what they do with that. And we'd really like to have them, what, like we're in school, you're raising your hand.
I was thinking it would be smarter to give it to Marvel, because like I said before, it would be more authentic storyline and character wise and you want to connect with the audience based on the characters. And I think to play it safe and to make more money and to be better with marketing, you have to be real with that and real with the audience, because a lot of superhero movies are coming out. Their best bet is to do with Marvel.
Would you have the creators or the writers contribute?
From Marvel?
To the movies.
From Marvel?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, because they know that's theirs. That's their, it can't be touched.
DC is doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
They let Jonathan and Christopher Nolan pretty much go at it.
Yeah.
And they did a little movie called The Dark Knight. I think it did okay.
It did really good.
So there's a little bit of the news. We'll take a little break. We'll talk some more. Matter of fact, let's talk about Captain America. One of the actors in there is Stanley Tucci, somebody we know very well. He's in that, and we'll talk about something he said about the Captain America movie in a few minutes.
Geekspeak Radio Show. We'll be right back. The talk of planet Earth. This is TalkZone.com. Internet talk radio. Calling all fanboys.
Care to have a little fun.
Care to have a little fun.
It's time to get back to the Geekspeak Radio Show on TalkZone.com.
No, actually, I have to save the world.
With your hosts, Henry and Romo.
Damien, no. Hi. We're back on the Geekspeak Radio Show. We are talking news of the day. We talked about some comic book movies. Let's keep on talking about comic book movies. Captain America comes out next year with Chris Evans. Stanley Tucci plays Dr. Erskine. And do you know who that is, Romo?
Not really.
It is the scientist who invents the super serum that creates Captain America.
I didn't know that. Now I do.
Yeah.
But I do know the villain. Red Skull.
Yeah, that is Agent Smith from The Matrix.
It's going to be awesome. He does look like Red Skull, which is sad.
I think he is going to need makeup for it, though. They're not just going to let him go like that. But what do you call it? Stanley Tucci was saying in an interview, he said over the weekend that, yeah, he's playing Dr. Erskine, and he will only be in about 6 scenes total in the movie, which kind of makes sense, though, because in the original comic book, in the origin of Captain America, Dr. Erskine gets killed right after he creates and injects the super serum into Captain America. To create Captain America. That's the Steve Rogers. He's still Steve Rogers at the time, not Captain America yet. So there's a little spoiler, I guess, if you want to, but I mean, everybody knows that. Everybody that knows the Captain America story knows that already, so not really much of a spoiler. Walternate.
I know who you're talking about. Walternate is Walter from Earth 2, and we're talking about Fringe here.
Actor John Noble.
Yeah.
He did an interview also, and he says that in season 3, there's going to be, obviously, and I've told you this before, a lot of it is going to be set in the alternate Earth.
Yeah.
And we did see it last season where Olivia met alternate Olivia.
Yeah.
And Peter crossed over and crossed back here and crossed over again. Would you like to see a meeting between Walternate and our Walter?
Yes.
Well,
why they're thinking of doing that?
Well, John Noble says that the reason that happened and the reason why they saw his character and William Bell meet face to face is because we asked for it, the fans. And JJ and company, they do listen and they make it happen. So if we say we want the two Walternate and Walter to meet up face to face, he says, write in. Call in, email in.
Yeah,
right in. Show my age. Email in, tweet in if you have to, and it'll probably happen.
So this is the last time we see William Bell, right?
I don't know if we are going to see, because remember, he retired. Leonard Nimoy is retired as an actor. And he did tell JJ that's enough. He doesn't want to do any more. But
man, that's...
Knowing JJ, he'll find a way to
bring him
back.
That's what we want. The fans, we want...
I mean, and it's understandable, because Leonard Nimoy said that he didn't want to do it because... When JJ first asked him to do William Bell, to play the William Bell character,
yeah,
it was. I mean, JJ will never admit it. I know that, but it was pretty much to butter him up to appear in Star Trek as Spock Prime, and he gave him okay, we'll put you in Fringe, and that's how you make friends with him. He made friends with him. Problem with that is Leonard Nimoy was only seen at the very, very end, the very last the season finale, season one. You find out finally who William Bell is, the coolest cameo ever. It's Spock. That's who William Bell is.
Yeah.
The second season, he was in a few episodes and he was really in the finale, but that's about it. Leonard Nimoy, the actor, he said, why did I come back for this with just two cameos?
Yeah, because he has a very climactic role.
It's very important. He's mentioned, even if you don't see him, he's mentioned in just about everything.
Yeah, he is.
By Walter. Well, William and I.
Because him, he's very tied into Massive Dynamic.
Yeah.
Massive Dynamic. Yeah, so he has to be a part of the show because his character is written so well into the storyline with Massive Dynamic.
You mean.
Yeah.
And, but the problem now is, since he doesn't want to appear,
hopefully they got extra B-roll footage they could use or shot some stuff, you know, knowing that he's not going to be...
Hologram.
Ooh, there you go. That'd be cool.
It is Fringe. They can do that kind of stuff. John Noble says that it's up to us to see if...
That's a really good point.
To make the two Walters meet up face-to-face.
That's
H.P. Lovecraft. Who's ever heard that name?
Wait, what?
What was it?
H.P. Lovecraft.
H.P. Lovecraft.
I'm surprised you, Angel, missed
horror. Is this
horror.
Tech news?
Uh-huh.
Tech news? I'm thinking HP, like HP.
No, not tech news.
Oh, okay.
He writes horror novels. Like I said, I'm surprised you don't know that.
No, haven't got to him yet.
Well, Guillermo del Toro did. You know that name?
Oh, yeah.
Of course we do.
How about James Cameron? You know that name?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
They're going to direct or do one.
Well, Guillermo del Toro, he has a script for At the Mountains of Madness. That's it's one of HP Lovecraft's novellas. It's a short story, and somebody got their hands on the copy of that script, and they say that on first impression, that if the film feels like, at least on the script, feels like a Hellboy movie without Hellboy, with a light dose of John Carpenter's The Thing, the original The Thing, because that's, by the way, being rebooted also next year.
I know, not really pleased with that.
I kind of want to see that, actually. You'll want to see it, because the lead actress, Mary Elizabeth Winstead from Scott Pilgrim. The one you liked,
nice.
Ramona Flowers.
Gotta get her on the show, and I want a date.
okay, now I just guarantee she'll never come on the show.
Yeah,
it's all good.
And James Cameron will be producing this. Guillermo del Toro directing, but James Cameron will be producing this thing, and he is obviously going to start work on Avatar 2 soon. Cameron, that is. And he says that this is a very epically scaled horror film, and we the audience haven't seen anything like that in a really long time. I guess since Aliens.
Wait. If it's been a long time, then it means that it's already been done before.
Well, he compares it to Aliens. His Aliens.
That's interesting.
Leave it to Cameron to toot his own horn.
Right. Yeah.
He is good at what he does.
He is.
Just ask him. He'll tell you.
He'll brag about it, too. They're probably going to on the show just to talk about how good he is.
I think we need more than 2 hours for James Cameron.
And that is true. Producer Dave, he's messaging me that John Carpenter's The Thing was a remake as well from the 1950s version. But The Thing, John Carpenter's, was so successful that it's considered, it just stands on its own. And this is why a lot of people have an issue with the reboot, it's a prequel that's coming out next year.
Yeah.
Have you seen it, first of all? John Carpenter's The Thing?
As a kid, yeah. That's
this is the one with Kurt Russell.
Yeah, as a kid, and it freaked me out.
You remember how it starts?
It's been a while. I mean, like, I try to block it out of my mind.
In the snow with the dog coming into the camp?
I have not seen it.
Yeah,
so.
This is how the prequel begins, because that dog came from, and again, I'm not going to play the spoiler because everybody knows this movie. Everybody loves this movie. The dog came from the Norwegian camp where the thing crash landed originally.
Yeah.
And we were supposed to assume infected them. The camp and wipe them out. The dog is the only survivor, but they don't know that the thing is in them.
Yes.
That's how he appears or gets to the camp eventually where Kurt Russell is. The prequel that's coming next year takes you back and it goes into the Norwegian camp. You're going to see the spaceship crash land because you do see it buried in the snow in the Kurt Russell one. And you're going to see a crash land. You're going to, and Mary Elizabeth Winstead, she plays the American scientist that's over there. Joel Edgerton, Uncle Owen from episode 2 and 3, the Star Wars.
Yeah.
He plays one of the lead Norwegian scientists.
So this movie is about alien invasion?
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
Not alien invasion. It's a
monster thing.
I don't know what it is.
It's a thing. I mean,
because the original thing was back then part of the Red Scare. This one was more about just grossing you out, really.
Yeah, see.
So this one, I don't
know
why
I try to block it out as a kid.
This one, I don't know what route they're going to take it, but I am a big fan of the John Carpenter one, so I want to see what route they take with the prequel.
I have all the confidence that these two guys are going to really produce something very well and direct.
Who? Guillermo del Toro and Cameron?
Yeah, we're
talking about the H.P. Lovecraft thing. But it's H.P. Lovecraft. He does some really good horror stories. And again, surprised Miss Horror over here hasn't heard his name before.
I have not caught on to that.
That's your new name, by the way, Miss Horror.
Miss Horror?
Yeah,
okay.
Put it on her name tag over here.
There's her super name, Miss Horror.
What is that, by the way, that you brought in today? Is that a tricorder?
No. I was cleaning my house and I found my Game Boy.
Does it work?
It works.
Man. Does that have the internet in it?
Because
PS2
it does not.
Has one.
This is like...
This is before Wi-Fi.
And this is before the world changed, but...
Oh, I could surf the internet.
It's not even
mine.
In color.
It is in color.
Yeah, it's the one that came... The newer version that came back from color. Or went into color.
Yeah, it went into color, but I even have the original Game Boy.
That's
Tetris.
Cool.
Tetris.
Well...
Good times.
Well, mine has the internet.
Wait a minute, what does yours have?
PS2.
You can't, that's not portable. The PSP is portable, but that,
I mean the PSP, yeah.
What was one of the first portable game platforms?
It was the ones before that. It was just a little small screen and it had one button pretty much that looked like a cross and it had the start and select and just an A and B.
Well,
remember
there used
those?
To be those handheld
that's
games.
That's the one I'm talking about.
The handheld games?
Yeah.
I have that one too. I have Aladdin.
You know what I remember?
Atari.
No, there used to be a plastic aquarium. It looked like you would push it filled with water. You push the two buttons, and the little hoops would go up, and you would try to get it into one of the columns.
I think
sticking
seen
up.
Those before.
You didn't even need batteries for that. You just needed water.
You just need
don't
water.
Open the plug because there goes the water. But I remember those. I remember
that
those.
Being your entertainment.
Yeah, show my age. But I also remember, I think Coleco or Midway made these, the Pac-Man ones. It looked like the actual arcade Pac-Man games, but
yeah,
it was small.
I remember those.
Tabletop versions. I remember those. Those were kind of portable.
Yeah.
I never had a, what is this called again?
Game Boy.
I never had a Game Boy. PSP I don't have, but I played them. They're okay, I guess.
Yeah.
So, what?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to chime in on this one. I had the, Pac-Man video games, like you were just mentioning, it was something that was handed down to from my uncle, my mother's brother, and I used to play it all the time.
Hand-me-downs.
Hand-me-downs. Yeah, I had the hand-me-downs of the Pac-Man, and unfortunately, I broke it.
Oh, I have a Pac-Man
that's
on Sega Genesis.
That's why you don't hand things down. Going back to what I was saying earlier about the Star Wars toys, that's why you don't hand them down.
Right?
It's okay, Damien, I have that on a Sega Genesis.
But you know what? It's actually in my attic, though. I still kept it, though. It's fine and everything like that.
The pieces, you mean?
Yeah, the pieces, but it's not working at the moment though. But
it's a nice box of memories.
But it's good to have it though, to collect it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this: why are you playing with the Game Boy?
Because I like it.
It's nostalgic.
It's my childhood.
That's cool.
It's simple. Two batteries.
Right.
It's just simple.
That actually brings up a good question, also, not just the video games, the Game Boy thing, but these reboots, these remakes. Is that what they're trying to do? Relive our childhood? And because it worked once, it's going to work again? And are we the ones that go because of that? Like what Angel said, because it's reliving our childhood.
This is Damien. Yeah, I have to say this. Yeah. But yeah, I think so. I think some of the people who are inventing now these new gadgets, they're living their childhood.
I mean, even with the movies, I think a lot of the older audience goes to relive their childhood, and for the younger audience, they go and share that experience together. You know, like what Henry was talking about with the G.I. Joe thing. I feel that, you know, back to Fantastic Four, if Marvel can do it right, that would be even better.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, though. Just to touch on that, though, is it's very smart that Marvel does deal with that, you know what I mean? Because this is something that geeks will geek out about. It won't be too Hollywood, you know what I mean?
Like the Game Boy, just simple childhood.
Well, how do you know when a comic book movie has gone too Hollywood? Because they're fantastical as it is. That's what captured our attention to begin with.
Well, I think just, you know, taking away from what's in the comic book, I would say that, and then adding on different things that's not real.
Or adding unnecessary
like
things
Goblin.
That, you know, shouldn't even be there, like in the comic. Like,
exactly.
Like when you go see like a movie and it came out with the book, you read the book first and you see the movie and you're like, okay, well, they forgot about this. They, you know, you don't get the full experience.
Harry Potter, anybody?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking about. I was like, hey, they skipped out on this scene. Hey, so-and-so was thinking about this. They don't show the mentality of what the characters are thinking.
That's why I think that they should have more hands-on when it comes to these movies. That's why a lot of people say that comic book movies are not good movies.
Dave, our producer, says Batman Forever was too Hollywood, and that also leads to something I was actually going to bring up before he messaged us, is who the actor is. I kind of brought this up in a little game we played yesterday. Is who you cast what makes it to Hollywood? Like Robert Downey Jr., perfect. You can't see anybody else now as Tony Stark. Tobey Maguire, same thing, perfect. Andrew Garfield, we'll wait and see what happens, but I think he'll be fine.
Wow, I just got deja vu right now.
But what about if you see something like, and we mentioned this a few weeks ago, Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
What if he played a superhero? Would he be believable in that?
Yeah, he would.
You sure?
Yeah.
Because can you really separate Tom Hanks from whoever he's playing?
Yeah, I mean,
Woody.
Again, why I was going, what I just got deja vu was The Matrix.
Yeah.
First one was in Hollywood, but everything after that just got Hollywood.
It was just too blown up.
Too much, too much stuff, too much effects, too much storyline, too confusing.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's a classic example of just Hollywood being too Hollywood, and it just confuses.
How about if they do it right? Because I can give you an example of a huge, huge star in a, not comic book, but a comical movie that worked phenomenally.
Zoolander?
Who's your favorite actor?
Ooh, Johnny Depp.
Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
Savvy.
Well, he made it himself.
That's what I mean. If it's done right, is that what it takes?
It has to be done right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think so. I'm sure a lot of people, it was a lot of eyes open, mouths open when they found out that Heath Ledger was going to play the Joker in Dark Knight. And obviously, look
what he
did.
I remember there were actually a lot of negative press. People saying, him? No, Christian Bale is going to out-act him all the way. Yeah. Where are they now?
I just feel like part of being a character, I want to feel it when I'm watching it. I want to feel that character. That's why I agree with you, Henry. Yeah, Christian Bale, he's hot and all that in Bag of Chips or whatever as Batman, but I was wanting to see the Joker. I didn't care about Batman and all the monitors he had in his Batcave.
Yeah.
But to go back to answer your question about Tom Hanks playing a superhero, yeah, I think it could happen. I think it could happen. If he takes himself out of it, yeah.
What superhero could he play?
A villain, because I think that's what he'll surprise people the most. Everyone knows him as the good guy, a superhero maybe, but
he was kind of the hero in Da Vinci Code, but it wasn't really.
He's always played a hero, even in Toy Story 3, surprisingly, even though he's just playing the voiceover. But I think I'd rather see him as a villain. Because...
Well, Angel can't separate Tom Hanks from Woody.
I'd rather just see him. I'd rather see him as a villain because I think he'll shock me. I'll be more surprised, and I'll be, you know what?
See, again, I bring it back to. I think I mentioned this yesterday, a couple of days ago. Not Collider. Collateral from with Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
And Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise played the villain in that one.
Yeah, and people always associated him as being the good guy, and his entire life as a career as an actor, he's always played the good guy. So for him to play, you know, the villain Collateral, I totally agree because people didn't expect him to be a villain. The same thing I would go with Tom Hanks. You wouldn't expect him to be a villain.
Tom Hanks, our producer. Dave, our producer. He says Tom Hanks would play Mitchell 100 in Ex Machina.
What was that? He'll play what?
Mitchell 100 in Ex Machina, if that was made into a movie.
Huh.
Tom Hanks.
I've never heard of
that.
Left
them speechless with that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, you did. Thanks, Dave. I'm trying to think of who... Yeah.
A moment.
Hey, how did we get to this enemy?
I don't know. That's why I was kind of confused because you guys went a full circle into Tom Hanks and you guys were talking about.
Oh, Marvel and Game Boy and how, you know, it brings back to childhood.
Yeah, if that's not just Marvel, but just anyone, all the remakes that we're getting today, is that what they're trying to evoke from us? It just going back to our childhood?
You know, it's really hard to say because I feel like some of the movies are just being rushed, slapped with 3D just to make money, but. You know, like Fantastic Four really has a chance to be authentic and make great money. So I think either way, you know, it's really hard to say. It depends on the distributor, depends on the company. But I'm really rooting for Fantastic Four if they can do it right with Marvel.
I'm really rooting for Spider-Man.
Spider-Man too. You can't forget about Spider-Man.
No, I think there's more pressure on Spider-Man for the studio, for Sony to get it right. I mean, it has nothing to do with Fantastic Four or any other summer movie that's coming out next year. I think the biggest hit or miss is Spider-Man 4. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Well, it's not a Spider-Man 4. It's just
Spider-Man. But for me, it's Spider-Man 4.
Here's the thing. No pressure on you guys. I know for a fact Sony's listening and so is Andrew Garfield's people because we've emailed each other.
Andrew Garfield has more pressure than anyone else.
But you two, what would you want to see in this reboot?
A good villain.
What I want in the reboot is, I know Tobey Maguire's gone or whatever, but make me believe you're Spider-Man. I don't make me believe in the character. Make me believe in the situation. Well, make me feel like...
You want to feel that he's Peter Parker, not
Spider-Man.
I want to
feel, yeah, Peter Parker and Spider-Man.
Or else he's going to be living in Tobey Maguire's shadow.
Yeah, and then it's going to be... You don't want to be compared, you know? Be the character.
The problem I had with Spider-Man experience. 3 was the villains. I didn't want villain. I didn't want him. There was too many. I didn't want Venom in the beginning. I think it was too early to bring him on, especially the storyline being so young. I mean, Sandman was great, but there was too little of him. Not so much was developed. I was pissed because I felt like I didn't get my money's worth. I came to see Sandman because I grew up with him. He was one of my favorite villains. And then I just got like a little pretty ending at the end and that was it. Like, no, that's not how you do it. If you want to have someone, I mean, for this new reboot, if whoever they pick as a villain, if it's Scorpion.
Kraven the Hunter.
Him. I mean, you got to have a lot of, there has to be some good scenes where it's just, you know, it's there. Him hating the relationship between Peter Parker, Spider-Man, and Kraven the Hunter has to be there.
There's a big search right now for who's going to be the love interest. It's not Mary Jane Watson.
Oh, of course.
Do you want it to be Gwen Stacy or just somebody new entirely?
Gwen Stacy.
So everybody knows that was his first girlfriend, Gwen Stacy. It wasn't Mary Jane.
Yeah.
Mary Jane didn't come to him. Matter of fact, Mary Jane Watson was sort of an in-joke in the comic book because you never saw her face. And he and Peter Parker always avoided meeting her because Aunt May was friends with Mary Jane Watson's aunt, I forget her name. And Mary Jane's aunt wanted to introduce Mary Jane to Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And Peter Parker always avoided meeting Mary Jane Watson. And every panel, every time you saw Mary Jane Watson, let's say, look at Angel, everybody. It would be like, it's Angel, but her face is covered by a plant or something in the foreground always covered her face. It wasn't until when he finally got to meet her and you saw what Mary Jane looked like. And gave the famous line, you just hit the jackpot, Tiger.
See, that's what I'm talking about right there. You just proved my point, Henry, as far as being too Hollywood, like it's not sticking to the actual story.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
to be honest, I don't really care who plays his love interest. I want Spider-Man. I want a story and I want villains. I don't really care about the whole love thing.
How about like Ed Norton? No Peter Parker, just all Spider-Man all the time.
Hmm.
Because really, that's one of the complaints from Iron Man 2. Not enough Iron Man. A lot of Tony Stark, but not enough Iron Man.
That's true. That's really true. I didn't think of that. I agree. I mean, I didn't like Iron Man 2 because, again, there wasn't that much between Iron Man and Whiplash when they fought. It was really, again, it was really, they cut it so short. I think it would make this Spider-Man reboot successful is they have a lot more Spider-Man fighting against what's the other villain, Kraven.
And one thing I did like, because it was hinted at in the first Spider-Man, but it was gone the rest of the time with Tobey Maguire. Spider-Man, for those of you who remember, look at the comic book, read it, that the one I bought yesterday, because I found one of the old ones that my mom threw away, like everybody else's did also. But I found it. Romo was laughing because I said, I found you. I thought I'd never find you ever again. So I bought that one. One of the things in there, whenever he fights whoever it is, whether it's just ordinary thugs or Rhino or one of the superpowered villains, is the jokes. Always joking around, that's Spider-Man, joking around. You didn't see that, you didn't hear that with Spider-Man, with Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, except for when he was in the wrestling match. And he wasn't technically Spider-Man yet.
Yeah.
That's what was missing. That's what I want to see with Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man. So that would be the only thing I would add in. I wouldn't take anything away. I would add that in.
Hmm.
So there you go. Okay, so speaking of comic books, you know what tomorrow is? Wednesday. It's when they all come out, the new ones. So next segment, like I've done the past few weeks, I'm going to tell you which new ones are coming out tomorrow. You can start making your list, your wish list. And we'll also cover a few more stories, but mainly we're going to go to comic books, the new ones. What's coming out tomorrow? You want to know? You'll find out in just a few minutes.
Geek Speak Radio Show will be right back.
Radio and the Internet.
TalkZone.com. Internet Talk Radio.
Government can't control everything without controlling
the Geek Speak Radio Show on TalkZone.com.
And welcome back to the Geek Speak Radio Show. We're back. I'm here. We're live. Everybody else is here. Roman, where are you? There you are. So let's continue.
Let's do it.
Comic book talk. Like I said, tomorrow, Wednesday, is always a new release comic book day. Tuesdays, we get the DVD movies. But Wednesdays, at your local comic book store, real comics, not the digital stuff. This is what's coming tomorrow. Let's start with DC Comics. 100 Bullets, Trade Paperback Volume 7, Samurai. Air, Trade Paperback Volume 1, Letters from Lost Countries. Astro City, Silver Agent Number 2. Batman Confidential Number 48. Brightest Day Number 9. House of Mystery Number 29. iZombie Number 5. Jack of Fables Number 47. Jack of Fables Trade Paperback Volume 2, Jack of Hearts. Jonah Hex Number 59. The comic book, not the movie. where am I? JSA All-Stars number 10, Kane and Lynch number 2, Preacher Trade Paperback Volume 3, Proud Americans New Edition, Rebels number 20, also tomorrow, Red Hood Lost Days number 4. By the way, Judd Winnick, fantastic job on that. I got the Blu-ray.
It's good, huh?
Phenomenal. Sandman, Trade Paperback, Volume 6, Fables and Reflections. Sandman, Trade Paperback, Volume 7, Brief Lives. Scalped, Trade Paperback, Volume 1, Indian Country. Oh, I see. Secret 6, Number 25. Superman, The Last Family of Krypton, Number 2. Sweet Tooth, Number 13.
Sweet Tooth?
Yeah, what is that?
I was thinking of, like, Candyland game or something.
I wasn't. You know what I was thinking of?
What?
The PlayStation game.
Sweet Tooth?
Twisted Metal.
Oh.
I don't think it has anything to do with that, though. Tiny, by the way, that is coming also. Speaking of going back to your Game Boy thing, the video games, new Twisted Metal, finally, yes, for, like my son would say, yes, for PS3.
I can't wait to see it in that.
Tiny Titans. What?
I used to play that. It's so good. Oh, yeah. Man. Made me feel like a kid again.
Tiny Titans Trade Paperback Volume 4, The First Rule of Pet Club. Transmetropolitan Trade Paperback Volume 1, Back on the Street. V for Vendetta, New Edition Trade Paperback. That's coming tomorrow at your local comic book store from DC Comics.
Nice.
How about the other big one?
Marvel?
Yes. Marvel Comics. Here's what they have tomorrow. The Amazing Spider-Man presents Black Cat number 3. Annihilation Classic Hardcover, Annihilation Conquest Hardcover Book 1. Annihilation Conquest Hardcover Book... What comes after 1?
2.
Ooh, he went to school.
Oh.
Avengers Assemble Hardcover Volume 3. Avengers Assemble Hardcover Volume 4. Avengers Assemble Hardcover Volume...
5.
Damien didn't go to school.
Oh, you just lost your sticker.
Scratch and sniff too. Avengers Children's Crusade number 2. Best of the Fantastic Four hardcover volume 1. Captain America Forever Allies number 2. Dark X-Men trade. Again, what is that? Dark X-Men. I think we had that last week. Dark
something. Wolverine.
Yeah. I think Dave, our producer, said
it was about Wolverine's son or something. Yeah.
I don't know. Deadpool Pulp number 1. Deadpool Wade Wilson's War number 4. Dream Logic number 2. Where am I? Eternals by Neil Gaiman, hardcover volume 1. Frankencastle number 20. Gorilla Man number 3. Hawkeye and Mockingbird number 4. Hercules, Twilight of a God number 4. Heroic Age, 1 Month to Live number 1. Heroic Age, Prince of Power number 4. Hulk, Giant Size hardcover. I Am an Avenger number 1. Incredible Hulks number 612. Iron Man 2, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 1. Iron Man Legacy number 6. Marvel Monsters hardcover. Marvel Universe versus Punisher number 3. Marvel Visionaries, Chris Claremont hardcover. Marvel Visionaries, Jack Kirby hardcover, volume 2. Marvel Visionaries, Roy Thomas hardcover. Maximum Fantastic Four hardcover. New Mutants Forever number 2. Origins of Marvel Comics X-Men number 1. Punisher Max Happy Ending number 1, Scarlet number 2, Shadowland number 3, Shadowland Electra number 1, Shadowland Moon Knight number 1, Siege New Avengers Premium Hardcover, Sky Doll number 2, Spider-Man Peter Parker Back in Black Hardcover. I think I showed that to you yesterday, didn't
I? Yeah.
Taskmaster number 1, Thor for Asgard, Uncanny X-Men Rise and Fall of the Shire, Wolverine number 1. Wolverine Road to Hell number 1, X-Infernus hardcover, X-Men Curse of Mutants Smoke and Blood number 1, X-Men Manifest Destiny hardcover, X-Men Origins hardcover, X-Men Supernovas hardcover, Young Allies number 4, what?
X-Men's hardcover, Origins, that's gonna be a good one.
Yeah, and let's go on, since we're almost into the show here, let's go on. Archie, Veronica number 202, this one is big because for the first time in its 68-year-old franchise, they're gonna introduce a new character, Kevin Keller. Veronica, who seems to like everybody, she's going to really like him, really, really like him, really want him too. Kevin, not so much into it because he's more into Archie. Avatar Comics will give us Gravel number 20, Gravel Trade Paperback Volume 1, Bloody Liars, Wolfskin 100th Dream number 4, Bongo Comics gives us Simpsons Trade Paperback Volume 6, Boom Comics gives us 28 Days Later Trade Paperback Volume 1, Incorruptible number 9, Walt Disney's Comics and Stories number 7, Tim. Image, local one here. Image gives us Armory Wars Keeping Secrets of Silent Earth number 3, Choker number 4, Haunt number 9, Invincible Trade Paperback Volume 13, Murderland number 2, Proof number 28, Walking Dead Volume 11, Walking Dead Volume 12, Oni Press gives us Scott Pilgrim Volume 1, Scott Pilgrim Volume 2, Scott Pilgrim Volume 6, all of those graphic novels. So that's what's coming up tomorrow. Also, the new Wizard magazine comes out tomorrow in comic book stores only. Tomorrow, for us, just tune in and listen. You'll know exactly what's going on. But Star Wars Day number 2 will happen for us on Friday. Friday, we'll talk about the Star Wars Clone Wars event. Till tomorrow. Bye-bye. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
You guys have a good one.